This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise. The ship sailed yesterday without me. Derek, I just was telling you a funny... Yesterday, I did a lot of work at my house and because my oldest, you know, Lucas is home and he's really handy. So I'm like, can you come over? I've got a list of about 8 things. If we can fire through those. And we got through, I think, 7.
Nice.
But, you know, about 2:30, I'm like, well, I better have a beer. You know, I mean, I can. That's the beautiful thing. So about 3:45, without even like, I mean, I was in the middle of doing something. I like paused. I had this weird feeling. And I looked at my phone, it was 3:45, and I'm like, oh, wait, that's usually when I head into the radio station. I don't have to go today. So it was kind of a weird feeling, but then it was kind of a good feeling.
At least we're on your mind.
You were on my mind, and I did not get a chance to hear the show, so I apologize. I need to go back. I just asked Trevor about it, and he said that Chris Widlick thinks Indiana could be the best team in college football. Oh, no. Are they that good?
I don't know if he said that much.
Okay,
but.
Okay.
He is bullish on the Hoosiers.
Wouldn't it be fun if we could do a road show at Bloomington, Indiana? That'd be kind of fun. What could Illinois be at that point? About would they be like 6-2, maybe? I mean, or you know, like if we were looking at it normally, like win your first 4, mm-hmm. maybe even if you lost to Nebraska, you're 4-1. You beat Purdue at home, you're 5-1. Then you lose to Minnesota, you'd be 5-2.
At Wisconsin.
Okay, so 5-3.
Does it come after that?
I think it's right after that.
Oh, it's Iowa at home.
Oh, well, we're going to win that. So 6-3.
And then 2 Bloomington.
Okay, so you could be 6-3, let's say, in a normal, and you're heading to Bloomington, Indiana for a game. A few years ago, Illinois clinched a bowl bid at Bloomington, Indiana. Beckman or was that Zook? That may have been Zook. It doesn't matter. Anyway, I think that'd be cool. We could take our show over to Bloomington, find us a bar over in that area, and roll from there.
That was when Zook started 6-0.
Oh, that's right.
The 6th game was at Bloomington.
That's right.
And then, well.
Yeah, well.
He peaked there.
That was the end of that. We're going to continue our Big Ten Illinois schedule preview today by taking you inside every opponent. Today we're going to cover Iowa. Chicago, Iowa, Northwestern, and also Ohio State. So we're going to get through all that today. David Eicholt with the Hawkeye Insider is going to join us at the bottom of this hour. I really honestly have circled that November 7th game at Memorial Stadium between Illinois and Iowa. I do think this is a year where Illinois could beat Iowa because Iowa loses their quarterback. They lost 4 people early to the NFL, including Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle that we know was really good, and A.J. Epinesa, who left early to go to the NFL, and 2 other guys, I think one in the secondary.
So, safety,
yeah.
Geno Stone.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, you got a chance, I guess. I mean, the running back last year was a freshman.
They didn't run the football well.
They didn't, not against Illinois.
I think they were 10th in the Big Ten in rushing, which
wow.
is... a territory that they're not used to.
That's un-Iowa-like. Isn't that funny? So we'll see. And that game being at Memorial Stadium. Now, I think if it was flipped and that game was in Iowa at Kinnick, I don't think I'd have as much confidence in circling November 7. But that is certainly a date that I have circled since the last game against Iowa in last season. And I just think I'm excited for that. I'm already fired up for that game. Let's get it here. I don't know if it's going to be colder than dirt November 7th, but anymore.
Doesn't matter.
Anymore, November's warmer than May. I mean, it seems like.
Yeah, it seems like it based on what we've had recently.
I mean, I looked at the weather 10 days ago, and I plotted out a few days thinking, all right, it's going to be mid to upper 70s sun this week, and guess what? It's not. It's just kind of gloomy. But we're used to it, right? We're definitely used to this. We'll do a Mettler mix-up. Doctor of Physical Therapy, Matthew Gordon at 4:50. Teddy Greenstein, Chicago Tribune, to break down Northwestern at 5:05. And then Bill Rabinowitz, Ohio State beat writer for the Dispatch, is going to join us at 5:30 to talk about Ohio State. Am I missing anything on the national level? Did something happen or anything happen today? It feels like, guys, that we're getting closer to sports.
It does. I'd like to see more progress in baseball. I actually expected to see it at this point in time.
Agree.
Got to figure out the revenue sharing. Got to figure out some players like Blake Snell that may not want to play, obviously for less money than their actual total salary. But that is one thing that I'm a little discouraged on. It sounds like the NBA is going to be soon ready to roll. June 1st is when they're expected to have a full presentation as far as their guidelines.
Awesome.
They're going to play baseball at some point, right?
I agree.
I actually expected baseball to come back before the NBA and to be maybe rolling by late June.
I did too. I thought that would be, and I, with apologies to European soccer or the UCF or UFC, excuse me, with apologies to those two sports, I just assumed that baseball would be kind of the first of the big four to kind of get going again, kind of, you know, the trial run, if you will, to see what's going on. I mean, it's not a contact sport necessarily, so it has that going for them, as opposed to the NBA, where every time down the court, you're essentially touching your defender or the guy that you're going up to rebound against, you know, is touching you. And I know in baseball there's contact, but really not a lot.
Yeah.
You know, you're
using
get
the same ball, but
that'd be the one thing, right? That'd be the one thing that you'd worry about. But
and you see the recommendations or the proposal that there wouldn't be any sunflower seeds, no spitting.
That'd
be hard to regulate.
I don't know how many I think I spit a lot. I don't know how many times a day I spit.
And then there's just something about being on the baseball field.
Correct.
Then you're just
correct.
You have to.
How would Carlos Martinez handle this? There'd be no way. You brought that up the other day off the air. I was like,
a big wad of bubble yum.
Right. And not be able to spit.
Yeah, right.
You cannot spit. Well, the other thing, maybe the NHL coming back. Now, my fear there, it's so funny, you know, because you look at the states like Florida, for instance, that's a hot state. They're not having the kind of pandemic, if you will, or issues that other states are having. And a lot of people think because of, or that this virus doesn't like the heat. And I think it's even, I don't know that anything's been proven, to be honest with you, but I've read plenty of times where if the temperature's over this, you've got a better chance. Drink warmer water, which I always do. I hate cold water. Isn't that funny? I mean, I like cold water, but I prefer, like, if I buy bottled water, I don't put it in the refrigerator. What? I don't. Like, at the office, Betsy puts a bunch of her water in the refrigerator, and I keep the rest of the case of water or whatever. I keep it out.
No ice in your water?
No,
I
keep
it
room temperature. I know, it's weird.
I like it as cold as it, not like freezing.
Yeah.
But especially if I'm running and then I come inside, it needs to be as cold as humanly possible for me to drink that.
That is one area that if I've, well, of course, I don't exercise anymore, so I guess I don't need to worry about that. But I can remember as a young child, when you're 10, 12, 14 years old and you're outside all day playing wiffle ball, shooting hoop, whatever, you're sweating like a pig, you run in, and I remember a cold glass of water was, it's the best thing in the world. I would put that over Bud Light and Mountain Dew, and that means that's a lot coming from me. But anymore, I just would rather have just, I guess, not tap water, I guess that's out of the tap, but just just warm water. I don't mind it. It doesn't be warm, but
like
just
room temperature.
Yeah, I don't mind that. So, but you know,
you are a freak.
I am. I mean, I think that's been established, hasn't it? In 10 years at this radio station, I think that's been established. But the thing I worry about, this, so baseball would be playing in a warmer environment. The NBA, you'd be inside in a warmer environment. And I know in the NHL, you're inside. But, of course, you're playing on ice, and anybody that's been to an NHL game, you know that it's pretty cool, especially the closer you get to the ice, that it's pretty cool down there. So that's one thing I worry with the NHL.
I don't know. How much is that going to affect?
I don't either.
I'm not sure.
I just hope they play. I mean, this is, you know, the Blues coming off a Stanley Cup, and I will never be ungrateful. The rest of my life watching hockey, I will always have that NHL Stanley Cup that they won last year, but the Blues are really good. And this is a team that was winning that division, one of the better teams in hockey, probably one of the top four teams to win or have a chance at winning another cup, a back-to-back, and then the season gets ended. And I'm like, you know, how many times are the Blues, or even, I don't care what team, fill in the blank, how many times are you going to be able to win a cup again, back-to-back fashion, and for it to be taken away like that, like it was with the Blues, that kind of stinks. And they're more, they're kind of an experienced team as well. So I think if hockey would get going again, I believe that the Blues would be one of those teams that wouldn't be affected that much by this long layoff because they're so experienced. I know every athlete is staying in shape, unlike us. But I just, I don't know. I just hope it happens because I'd love to have a chance to see the Blues go after another cup. Now,
try to defend your title.
If they won it this year, Derek, is there an asterisk?
I mean, there's going to be a little bit of an asterisk around what whether it's going to be NHL, NBA,
anything,
but you're on the same playing field as everybody else.
That's true.
So I wouldn't apologize for going out and winning the weird season Stanley Cup.
That's a great point. And they played, what, all but about a month of the NHL season, right, and NBA? Because normally the playoffs are beginning like in June, right, or May. I think May into May and June.
Late April, May for NBA, and they'd played, we were talking about after the show, about 60 games, I think.
Okay. So, I mean, at least you're not playing 20 games and then the playoffs, right? I mean, to me, you've played most of the season. I'm talking NHL here and NBA. And then all of a sudden, you kind of start with your playoffs. I mean, we still have the schedules in place. I don't think anybody's erased them, or I mean the standings, so you know kind of where everybody sits. But I would love it if they would play the NHL and NBA playoffs. I mean, any sport. I mean, I'm all for that. NASCAR, they raced again last night, I believe, right?
Was the Anthony Alfredo win?
Anthony Alfredo.
I had him at plus 15,000.
You know what? I'm not sure.
The fact that I don't know probably is a bad sign.
Do I know who that is?
Let's see where
probably
he finished.
Not. Trev's ticket was a little obscure yesterday.
Oh, is he a fighter?
No, he's in NASCAR.
Oh,
he's
I've never even heard of that
professional
dude.
Car racer.
Anthony Alfredo, I've never even heard of him.
He was in the number 21 Chevy yesterday and finished 15th.
Okay, they stopped the race 20 laps from the finish.
Oh, so it's still going today.
Oh, so
he's in 15th right now.
Oh, okay. So
he's 14. He's one wreck away from winning me millions.
Boom.
Hypothetically.
That'd be huge, wouldn't it? That would just be huge for you. You can buy us outdoor seating dinner soon.
Absolutely.
Is that the other thing?
I'll buy you a whole patio
set.
That
was the news that broke yesterday.
So I literally, because I took the radio off and I didn't go to the office, I just shut down from every piece of information in the world. So I forgot there was a NASCAR race. I'm mad at myself. I should have been watching it last night, but I was in bed at 8:30. I mean, it was just one of those where I knew there was a, you know, I think Chase Elliott got into a wreck because Kyle Busch pushed him off or something. I'd have to go back and read it or look at the highlights again. But yeah, so in 8 days or something around here, you can go and eat at your favorite restaurant outside.
Outside, yeah, outdoor seating.
If they're doing that. I mean,
if they're
going to
do it,
The stipulation is if you can't do it on a sidewalk, because then people would be passing right by you.
Oh.
So, you know, there's probably certain places downtown that don't have 6 feet of room between their storefront door and the sidewalk.
But
there's other places that do have outdoor patios and stuff.
Could we just shut down a street?
That's what Stevie suggested this morning.
I mean, honestly.
Just shut down downtown and then just put tables and chairs everywhere.
Yeah, because I was thinking like the two towns that I'm, you know, I live in Philo and Villa Grove. I would assume that, you know, Main Street, Philo and Villa Grove, you just got to go another block to get around the you know, what do you call those when you're getting pushed around?
Detour.
The detour, thank you, detour. So I would think that you'd be able to just go out and set up a couple of tables, and I think that'd be. When do I get my haircut?
June 1st. You can. Good luck.
Yeah, I know.
You've probably backed up another month, based on appointments.
I bet it'll be July 1 before I even get my haircut. You think?
Probably. John, I've learned to live with it.
John said they called the race with 20 laps to go due to rain. I don't remember who won, but it wasn't Trevor's guy. All right, darn. So they're not. I thought they said it was.
What's the name of the race? I'll look it up. Toyota 200 or something?
I don't remember.
I don't know. It was a Toyota 500.
Maybe it's something like that. I thought I heard that they said that they called the race. And then we've got another, according to Scott, there's another series running today.
It looks like Denny Hamlin won.
Denny Hamlin, okay.
At least it says his status is currently in first. It doesn't say
he won.
Over, but I guess that means he won.
Yeah, 217 just said they completed it. was completed last night. I do think they shut it down, though, with 20 to go.
Okay, well, Anthony Alfredo is racing right now.
I was going to say, that's why I've never heard of him. He's an open wheel racer.
I don't know what the difference is.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not stock.
I don't know what that means.
So he's more of an indie racing one. Stock car.
Is it stock up?
I don't put much stock in that.
I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is
I don't want to try to break down racing
Anthony
for you.
Anthony Alfredo was plus 15,000.
Okay,
that's all I know.
Did not think he was on that NASCAR circuit. I'm like, I've never heard of that dude. But there are a lot of rookies that pop up every once in a while.
You guys are burying the lead, though.
What's the lead?
Iowa has changed all his profile information to black.
That was the other thing that happened yesterday.
No, but now it's happened again to where he changed it to nothing.
Okay,
he put unfinished business.
And the last
time we were talking about yesterday. Yeah.
Good news.
Correct. He had the pinned tweet of him returning. He had the background of hashtag unfinished business. He put it back in his Twitter bio.
Ooh.
But got people talking, and then today it's all blacked out again.
But the last time he blacked everything out was when he committed to Illinois, right?
Well, he came back, yeah.
Yeah, he came back to Illinois.
Oh, I thought he did that in high school.
I think he did it then as well.
So he
had it blacked out before he brought back unfinished business, and then he blacked it out again.
Is he Sean Livingston teasing us right now?
He wants to be in the conversation.
Okay.
I don't feel like he's a troll, though.
No.
Like, I don't feel like he just did it to do it. You know what I mean? Like, he seems like a very deliberate and good at self-promoting type of figure. I don't get the sense that he's just, like, wearing hoodies to mess with people or something. You know what I mean?
Got it.
I think he listens to the show, and as we joked, he was our Cowboys Prescott Will Cain topic, and we've abandoned it the last couple of weeks.
So
he
said,
what's going on? I want to be the lead of every show here going forward.
What's this football preview that these guys are doing? Why not
five straight days of
Io talk?
But there's honestly, while he hasn't in the past been someone that has, in comparison to an Adam Miller, maybe drawn up the drama a little bit more, this is messing with some people, changing it and then putting it back. Like, you're trying to get talked about. I get that. Or he's just bored and has changed his mind. I don't know.
He might be bored because he's tweeting every, like, 5 minutes, what's your top five small forwards of all time? What's your second top five power forwards of all time?
So. He has Kevin Durant. He thought Kevin Durant would be a top five player.
He said top eight.
I'm like, give him a little more time maybe for that. So if the three of us changed our Twitter thing, there'd be five people.
I don't know if people...
No one would notice.
Close enough.
Nobody would notice. You're right. I don't even know what mine is anymore.
But he knows people are watching.
Okay. Well,
what your Twitter profile picture is?
I think it's me.
It's you in the orange hoodie at the Game Day Live show.
Oh, that's
with the headset.
Are the boys still in the background?
Andrew giving the raspberry tongue to the camera with Lucas making a putt shot behind
that's
him.
That's Andrew to a T. Well, you're supposed to take golf serious in high school, and Andrew would be standing right by the green. He'd just be sticking his tongue out at Lucas while he's trying to putt. I'm like, Andrew. You know, I can't yell at him on a golf course.
And your pinned tweet is, I doubt the selling of beer was an easy choice for the U of I, but I appreciate them taking the leap. A big thank you to the U of I for making this happen.
Boom. And I think, would pin that tweet.
I think that entire profile sums up your entire family very accurately.
You know, in that picture, though, in the orange, it's kind of hazed out enough that I look like I'm actually kind of a muscular guy.
It's a bad picture.
It is, but doesn't it look like I'm halfway muscular?
Yeah, it does. You actually look like you're ripped in this picture.
See?
Really?
So I stuck with it, and that's why. So I'm one of those that if somebody actually met me after they only could see me on Twitter, they'd be like, whoa, that is not a good representation. Yeah. No, it does, doesn't it? I think back then, though, honestly, Trevor, back then, I was in better shape, and I was lifting.
It's a nice fit on there.
Boom.
And you got a clean cut, clean haircut.
I did. Yeah,
a blurry picture.
It's blurry.
You were interviewing Perdita Feliciano.
Oh, yes.
She was to your left, and you must have had to really crop that picture to just get torso up of you only.
I don't know why I didn't keep her in it. She's one of the best Illini athletes ever.
It looks like you hit the curl bar in between segments.
I was doing it actually during the segment, talking to Perdita. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, hold on, I'm going to set this down. I'm going to take a picture.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
Jerry Colangelo was next.
Oh, that's right. What a day.
That was pretty good.
Jerry Colangelo, I think, his net worth is over $300 million. I think. And I remember that day thinking, I'm talking 2 feet away from a guy worth $300 million. He's, I would assume, the richest person I've ever visited with.
Well, let's see. Derek got us Dan Marley one day. I don't think he'd be richer than Colangelo.
Which those two are having a dispute, or at least Dan Marley and Grand Canyon are.
Yeah. Not even close. Not, can we look? Can we search?
Colangelo was probably.
Oh, Colangelo is
the top.
Well, I mean, you talk to Lovey. He's making $6 million a year.
Not even close. No. Not even close. I mean.
Okay, let me look up his net worth.
Okay, let's do that. Again, we're going to talk with David Eichholt, who possibly is a millionaire.
$380
million. $380 million. Like, Lovey's not close to that.
Okay, obviously you're right.
Nor Dan Marley. So
It would have to be someone who just has built up tremendous wealth just by being who they are.
Dan Hartlib. That's who it is. Dan. I don't know. I think that's probably the richest person I've ever interviewed and ever even talked to.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of weird to think about? $380 million, Derek. That's how much that guy is worth. And he's as down to earth as...
I know.
Just sitting there shooting the bowl with us.
We haven't talked to Bob Odenkirk yet, but he's up there.
He'd probably not. Nah.
Better Call Saul.
He's probably around 18.
18?
Yeah, let's check it out.
I'm sure he makes like $1 million an episode for Better Call Saul.
You think? I don't know. Check it out. I want to know. And then we got to take a break.
Okay, 25 mil.
25, okay.
I'm way off here, I guess.
Well,
I guess.
Colangelo is just to the next. Yeah. Jimmy John, Jimmy Lewitard. Yeah,
we haven't talked to him.
We've never interviewed him. I have talked to him, though. So can you check him?
Sure.
Real quick, I have actually visited with him for a brief moment. So that he may challenge Colangelo. Gosh, if you own Jimmy John's.
$450 million. So he's up about 60 or 70 on Colangelo.
Okay.
However, it's important to note that, remember, he did sell Jimmy John's to what, Arby's?
Something like that. Well, okay. So
I'm not saying he doesn't have that money. I'm just saying some of that money came from.
Okay. So if you got more than 100 or $450 million, give us a call, 359-2255. I'll update my list as we go. That would be funny. I've never visited with Shad Khan. That was a good call
now,
by
Brianna.
Here's
another one that says he's net worth of $2 billion.
Oh.
Jimmy John.
Goodness. And so. Shad Khan, to wrap up the segment, Brianna sent in Shad Khan. I've never talked to him. Have you ever talked to him, Derek?
Have not, no.
Okay.
Austin actually talked to Tony
when they came
for the WWE stuff.
For the wrestlers. I mean,
Shad is $10.3 billion.
Okay. He's
so
one
that's
of
like not even close.
Forbes.
Have you talked to Shaka Khan?
Shaka Khan, I have not. Let me rock you, Shaka Khan. All right, when we come back, David Eichholt, Hawkeyes Insider, circling November 7th, baby. Illinois and Iowa on this football schedule. We'll visit with David next, get an idea about Iowa this season. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-597-0315. That's 800-597-0315. 800-597-0315. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Game Day Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now offering great deals online to all of Illini Nation. Introducing their biggest online sale ever. T-shirts starting at just $15, crew necks starting at $20, and hoodies starting at $25. Hundreds of other items are 20% off with free shipping on orders of just $50 or more. You won't want to miss out on these amazing deals. At GameDaySpirit.com/sale today. That's GameDaySpirit.com/sale.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents Lima, Lima. And Doug.
Breathe out. and repeat after me. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Your bird is eating my candles.
Your bird is eating my candles.
No, seriously, he's making a mess.
No, seriously.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
We all have that friend. They always have the right tool for the job. Need a Torx wrench? Dave's got it. Claw hammer? Of course, got that too. How about a dolly suitable for safely moving your settee down a slim hallway? Dave doesn't have that. But 2 Men in a Truck does. 2 Men in a Truck has all the right tools for your next move. So when it's time to sling a settee, don't call Toolbox Dave. Call the moving professionals at 2 Men in a Truck. 2menchampagne.com. That's a smart move.
Right now, more than 125,000 children are waiting to be adopted from foster care. The Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption works around the clock to find them the permanent, loving homes they deserve. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Hey, Betty, you live at Baytown Apartments, right?
Yeah, just off Prospect and Boardwalk Drive in Champaign.
There's a lot of great restaurants and shopping there. Is there a gym nearby?
Who needs it? Baytown has 24/7 fitness center and sauna at the clubhouse.
Wow!
It's great, but the weather being so nice, I've been getting my workout on the jogging pass around the lake.
You have all that at Baytown Apartments?
Yeah, it's the best. Staff does a great job keeping the place beautiful.
Do you think they have any units available?
Actually, they have newly remodeled 1- and 2-bedroom units. You should check them out at Baytown.net. Tell the courtesy staff at the welcome gate and get a tour.
It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lance, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise as well, and of course, Great White, the official band. We'll get Great White on.
Let's do it.
Who'd we say? Ludacris. Ludacris is originally from Champaign, so he's a singer we could get on the show. I mean, we're kind of looking for anybody right
That'll be the first swing.
Boom. I agree. And a good one it would be if you could hammer it. All right. All week we are previewing the Illinois football schedule. And, you know, I'll mention this again as David Eicholt joins us now. How are you, David?
I'm doing good, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Well, no, thank you. And I was going to tell you, David, we're being a little aggressive with this because, first of all, the season's a long way away and we don't even know if it's going to happen, right? But we thought we need content. And what better a time to break down all of the Big Ten teams that Illinois will be playing this year than right now. So David Eicholt joins us to talk Iowa Hawkeyes. He's from Hawkeye Insider, 24/7 site. Follow him on Twitter. It's at David Eicholt, E-I-C-K-H-O-L-T. All right, four Hawkeyes you lose early to the NFL, including Tristan Wirfs, also A.J. Epinesa, a couple in the secondary. Let's start on that offensive line. You've got three offensive linemen back, losing Wirfs, though, and with a rushing attack that wasn't as good as I was used to last year, how do you think that gets better this season?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest question mark of the offense. Obviously, I think Iowa did a great job in the transfer portal, which, you know, Kirk Ferentz has kind of joked about that he doesn't like really dabbling in, but getting Coy Cronk from Indiana, I think, was a massive get to replace Tristan Wirfs, and obviously is a big win for the team to get Alaric Jackson back for his fifth season. I think if Alaric Jackson does not go down with an injury in the first game last year and play the entire season hobbled, that he's probably off in the NFL playing on Sundays now. So getting him back is big. And obviously Tyler Linderbaum, who I think could be an early candidate for the 2021 draft, his stock is going through the roof right now. But, you know, I think with Iowa returning their top four receivers and they should have more tight end production this season, I think the ability to kind of spread out defenses, not get, you know, 8-9 guys in a box to zero in on Iowa's run and make them pass, I think that's the biggest thing. But I will say, I do think that Tyler Goodson is poised to have a breakout Big Ten season. I've been really high on him ever since he got to Iowa. And, you know, credit to Illinois, actually, too, because I thought Illinois did a great job last year of containing him when he was kind of starting his rise. I think he only had 21 carries for 38 yards or so in last year's game. So I'm optimistic about the team. Obviously, I think the whole X factor is getting stability in the inside guards and how Spencer Petras handles being the starting quarterback replacing Nate Stanley.
David, as Lon alluded to, Iowa 10th in the Big Ten last year in rushing yards, which is low compared to where they usually traditionally find themselves.
Correct.
But Nate Stanley was someone they could lean on, a three-year starter. You mentioned there Spencer Petras taking over. What do you know about him? What do you expect now that he takes over in that spot?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question mark right now, too, because we obviously didn't even get the chance to see him this spring because Iowa was not able to hold any of their spring practices. But coaches are really high on him, and I will say he comes from California, threw for 50 touchdowns, 4,600 yards to only two interceptions as a senior, broke all of Jared Goff, the former number one overall pick, all of his high school records from Marion Catholic. I think he's got high upside, not really a mobile quarterback, a very pro system, Iowa-like quarterback, has a really, really strong arm, a very smart football player. But I think him being in the system for the last 2.5 years, he was an early enrollee, I think that's going to help him tremendously. And I have heard that he knows the playbook really well, but we'll see if he has those touch on the deep passes, because I think that was Iowa's biggest detriment outside the run last season, is a lot of points were left on the board because Stanley couldn't quite have that touch on those deep passes. But I think getting all the weapons back in the receiving room, I think getting Sam Laporta back, who I think could be a breakout tight end this season in the Big Ten, he's got all the pieces around him. So we'll see how he does transition. But I know the program feels really good about having him under center, but he's going to be tested very early, obviously hosting Iowa State in that second game and traveling at Minnesota in their third game of the year. So he's going to have to get together and won't have a lot of wiggle room when the season kicks off.
The Hawkeyes get Smith Marset back at receiver. You mentioned there the tight end. They have another stud tight end in the pipeline. And what do the weapons look like around the new quarterback?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that this is the best wide receiver room that Kirk Ferentz has had in 20 years. It basically has gone from, I think, the worst position group in Power 5. When Kelton Copeland took over 3 years ago, Iowa only had two scholarship receivers, and neither one of them ended up having a career catch. So he's really kind of remade up that room. Getting Emir Smith-Marset back is big, 722 yards last year, 5 touchdowns. Brandon Smith, I think, is going to be, you know, a big play machine. Had nine games played last year, and one of those he only played one snap. But 37 catches, 439 yards, 5 touchdowns, and getting Tyrone Tracy back and Nico Reganey, as well as Sam Laporta, sophomore tight end, very under-recruited guy, but ended up with 15 catches for 188 yards last year, all of which came in the final 5 games. So I know a lot of fans are excited about what he brings to the table. So I think the passing weapons around him are good. I just think we'll see what the pass protection looks like and if he'll have time to be able to make those throws. And what defense is throwing at Iowa, too, because like I said, I really don't know how teams are going to play Iowa, if they're going to stack 8-9 in the box or if they're going to spread out and respect what Iowa has on the perimeter for outside weapons. But again, that has not been the mantra for Kirk Ferentz coach team. So there's a lot of question marks, but I think Brian Ferentz is going to kind of go all in this year and really open up the playbook.
That will be interesting because, you know, like Wisconsin, when you play Iowa, you know what you got to do. You got to stop a run, and now all of a sudden this year, while you'll still have to do that with Tyler Goodson, you may have to stop the pass. David Eicholt, our guest, Hawkeye Insider, great breakdown there on the offense. Let's switch to the defensive side. I had written down you have 5 back on defense. Of course, you lose A.J. Epinesa, an Illinois kid that moves on to the NFL. What does his loss and others mean for this defense now?
Yeah, I think A.J. Epinesa obviously is a huge loss. I think entering the season, they kind of knew that he was going to go. But I will say a couple of names to keep in mind. Obviously, I reported earlier, and about 10 minutes ago, he confirmed it. Northern Illinois graduate transfer Jack Heflin has committed to the Hawkeyes.
Nice.
He grew up an Iowa fan. He was the second-team All-MAC guy last year. Really solid player, 16.5 tackles for loss over the last 2 years and 9 sacks. He provides a lot of stability in the middle. Look for Davion Nixon, 6'4", 325-pound defensive tackle, to be a major part of that team as well. And they do return Chauncey Golston, who I've been really high on his entire career. Took a step back last year, but I think he's a very all-Big Ten caliber guy. So I think the defensive line goes from being a big question mark to potentially being a strength. I think the loss of Geno Stone in the secondary is a huge loss. Not maybe not more than Epenesa, obviously,
right,
because Epenesa was, you know, an all-conference, all-American guy. But Iowa stopping the pass and stopping the big plays is what kept their season alive last year, and didn't, having them not allowing more than 24 points in the game. I think the secondary is a big question mark, and obviously they lose Michael Ojemudia, who was a fifth-year senior last year, and DJ Johnson, who started four games for the Hawkeyes last year, elected to enter the NCAA transfer portal, as we reported yesterday. So the secondary has got a lot of question marks. I think the linebackers will have a bit of stability, but obviously when you lose a guy like AJ Epenesa, who can single-handedly take over a game, there's going to be question marks, and I do think that there is a question mark at who replaces them. I do think they have upgraded talent across the defensive line to kind of make up for that.
David, one guy that is obviously the dean of the coaches and a guy that I've always respected from afar and thought has done an unbelievable job, because he has, is Kirk Ferentz. And, you know, he just keeps clicking along here. And he's a guy that's, of course, a little bit older, obviously. And like you said, he's a guy that's probably pretty set in his ways because it's worked. And now he's looking at this transfer portal going, wait, I'm too old for this. Get me out of this game. But obviously he's diving into it. How is Kirk doing? I mean, this guy just continues to do what he does and just continues to win at a high level every season in Iowa. It's amazing the career he's had there.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because I think if you look at over the past 5 years, he's won 47 games, which is the most in a five-year span in school history. And I think a big part of it is Kirk has done a very good job of just being the CEO of what Iowa football is.
Got it.
And, but he's done enough to change what they want to do. So the recruiting department's gotten, I think, a complete overhaul. They've hired younger coaches like Derek, the running back coach, Derek Foster, who's gotten them more established down south. They have Tyler Barnes, the director of recruiting, a younger guy, who's really revamped that recruiting department. And obviously once defensive line coach Reese Morgan retired, there was a lot of concern about how Iowa would keep the in-state kids and keep, you know, talented kids in the region. But them reorganizing that department, getting Tim Polasek from North Dakota State, now the offensive line coach for Iowa, is a big part of that. And Iowa right now is ninth in the country in the 2021 recruiting class, and I think it will go down as Kirk Ferentz's best recruiting class ever. So I think just the way he's kind of redone the offense, and with Brian Ferentz and what he's doing there and what they're doing in the recruiting department, it's leading to success. And I mean, like I said, I get the question a lot about when he's going to retire. Things are really clicking for him, and I think he's comfortable with where he's at. And I think that with the whole country shut down in the quarantine, he's really getting a taste of what retirement might be like. And he's joked about how bored he is and how much he hates doing yard work with
That's
his
awesome.
Wife. So, you know, it might be a few years yet, but yeah, he's just rolling along.
I mean, I'll bring a retirement gift over if I have to, if that'll help get him out of here. I kid. I think he's awesome.
David Eichel,
he's a really good interview, and like I mentioned, I think he's very content. I think he's very happy with the way things are going. And I will say this too, and this is obviously a lot of people are looking at potentially Brian Ferentz taking over as the Iowa offense, you know, the head coach. I think that Kirk wants to leave. If that is the case, I think Kirk will want to leave at the highest of highs to maybe ease the transition for Brian Ferentz. I'm not saying that's a guarantee to happen, but it's impossible not to ask the question if Brian Ferentz will take over when Kirk ends up retiring.
David Eichel, our guest, covers the Iowa Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports. Dave, want to get your thoughts on the schedule. A big early matchup, I believe week 3 at Minnesota. I know the Gophers will be looking for some revenge after a big matchup there last year in Iowa City. And then 2 crossover road games at Ohio State and at Penn State back-to-back. What do you make of the challenges and just how it shapes up on the schedule for Iowa?
Yeah, like I said, I think that this is going to be a very – Spencer Petras will have a very quick welcome to the Big Ten, welcome to college football moment. Again, he's been in the system for 2.5 years, but you go host Iowa State, who will be looking for revenge. They've lost 5 straight to Iowa, as has Minnesota. And Minnesota is that Friday night game, keep in mind, too. So back-to-back rivalry games with teams that really want to beat Iowa because they haven't recently in a 6-day span, that's going to be a tough gig. And then another note, too, with the Ohio State and Penn State back-to-back road trips, Ohio State and Penn State have byes before the Iowa game. So they're going to have an extra week of prep to go against Iowa, and I think Ohio State's going to be extremely hungry for revenge after the last time they played being in 2017 when Iowa beat them 55-24. But look, it's an extremely difficult schedule, I think, for Iowa. I think Iowa has the talent to be a 9-10 win team, but I think with the schedule and with the way things play out, I think 7-8 wins is a, I don't want to call it a successful season.
I would agree.
But given what they're replacing and what the schedule is, I'd say it's a pretty good season. I think Iowa fans will tell you a different story, but I think that's a pretty good season, especially when I think the at Purdue game, the November 21st, is a big trap game as well, because if Purdue gets stability at quarterback, Rondale Moore and David Bell, and if Iowa has those questions in the secondary, that could be a complete nightmare for Iowa, because I think both those guys are future Sunday players, future first-round players, and two of the best in college football.
You know your program is on solid footing when you look at a brutal schedule, you look at a brand-new quarterback, you look at losing four guys early to the NFL, and you still probably will win seven or eight games. I mean, that is what Iowa is about right now. All right, David, I always ruin my reputation as a guy that's been in the media for most of my life when I ask this question. I normally don't, but we thought for the preview, I'll fall on the sword. November 7th, I've had that thing circled, David, since last year when Illinois came to Iowa City, played a pretty good game, had a chance to win that one. Mm-hmm. Iowa comes here November 7th, so I'll ask you, do you think Iowa can come to Champaign and get a win over a team, an Illinois team that has high hopes of getting 6, 7, maybe even 8, if you ask me, wins this season? Do you think Illinois will get it done against Iowa?
I think it's a little early, but I will say this. And the reason why that game is intriguing to me, obviously, is because, like you mentioned, it is circled, I think, on both fans' calendar. But Iowa gets a bye week just before that game. But Iowa traditionally, at times, can come out slow out of the gate following their bye week. So that's why that game circled for me, because I think if Iowa does come out slow, I think Illinois, just the increase in talent that they are getting, I think that they could provide Iowa a scare. And I do think that's going to be a closer game than what people admit. But I mean, it's hard for me to answer that question right now, just because I want to see what Spencer Petras can do.
Yep.
I want to see how the secondary can hold up. And, you know, I think with Iowa's punting game too, there's a big question mark about Iowa's punter, because Michael Sleep Dalton's gone. And obviously the Iowa mantra and what Kirk Ferentz people love to joke about is nobody loves punters more than Kirk Ferentz.
Right.
But if Iowa and the special teams doesn't get it together, I'm interested, because they lose their holder, they lose their long snapper, and they lose their punter. They get Keith Duncan back for field goals and kickoffs. But, you know, it will be interesting. I think if Illinois can stay out of injury trouble, which it was unbelievable how many guys they had injured last year, I think if they can do that, and if Iowa comes out slow out of the gates, I think it is possible that it's going to be a lot closer game than I think Iowa fans would like to admit.
David, real quick before I let you go, got to ask you about Luka Garza. Send a retirement gift to Ferentz.
I'll start driving now.
Have a good career in the NBA to Luka Garza. What's the feeling? I know most expect him to come back, but how confident are Hawkeyes fans or are those around Iowa that Luka will indeed be back for one more year?
I mean, Hawkeye fans are probably uneasy because, I mean, I don't think anything will take him by surprise after the news that Bo Hannon was potentially looking at grad transferring before he announced that he was coming back. But, I mean, for me and what I'm hearing and who I'm talking to, I'm about 85 to 90% sure, if not higher, that Luka Garza will be back at Iowa next year. I think if he comes back and he leads Iowa to 26 wins or so, if, you know, Iowa ends up going Sweet 16, Elite 8, they're talking about him potentially being a late first-round pick. And the money is not going to be the issue. If he's guaranteed a roster spot, he'll go to the NBA this year. If not, he's coming back to Iowa.
Not the answer I wanted, David. You just failed the interview right there. Right now, I can't.
Sorry, man.
David Eichold, excellent breakdown of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Follow him on Twitter, at David Eichold, Hawkeye Insider for 27 Sports. David, we can't thank you enough, my friend. By the way, Derek had to mention to me that 2008 is the last time Illinois beat Iowa in football here in Champaign. So it's been a while. I like to say, David, I like to update stats, and I'd be fine with updating a stat in November. Buddy, thank you so much for your time, my friend, and great job as always.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Take care. Stay safe.
All right, buddy, you too. David Eichold, great stuff there with Hawkeye Insider. Again, follow him on Twitter, at David Eichold. I think we all kind of think Garza's coming back, right? To me, he's kind of like Kofi. To me, we feel like we're pretty safe that those two will be back. You know, two kind of big men, if you will, that the NBA right now, just Garza doesn't play defense.
Yeah, that's the major knock on him. He does stretch the floor. He can shoot threes, as everyone in the Big Ten can attest to. Offensively, he's a load, and he plays extremely hard. He just, whether it's effort or lack of athleticism, he struggles defensively. Iowa, in general, doesn't guard very many people.
No, they don't.
Speaking of not defending very well, last two trips to Champaign, Illinois football outscored against Iowa 91-0.
Wow, what? right when we bring on Jeff Schroeder. Jeff, how are you, buddy? Oh, I didn't. Jeff, this is my fault. Jeff, how are you? My fault. How you been, buddy?
I'm doing awesome.
We sit here and talk all about Iowa, and then we bring you on. And it's like, come on! I think Luca Garza will be back.
Me too.
And I think that he is a load. You know what impresses me, Jeff, about him is that that guy never misses shots. He's like the old, you know, like back in the day when we always, you know, the old school people think that back in the 80s, nobody missed a shot in the NBA. Nobody. And it just never happened. And that's what Garza reminds me. It reminds me of a 1980s NBA guy a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, he uses the board a lot, and he's got a high motor. He doesn't stop. And, you know, from a fundamental standpoint, he keeps the ball above his head.
Yeah, he does. He does everything right. You're right. Doctor of Physical Therapy, Jeff Schroeder, joining us for the Mettler Mix-Up. Now, today we had a listener-submitted question, and here's how the question started. I'm older, in my 60s, and I thought, wait, am I supposed to say that I'm older? Which we know that I am, but this isn't my question. So they got plantar fasciitis a few months back, and it was not because of a strain or a pull. They're not a runner. They just woke up one morning with it in the left foot, and it doesn't hinder their ability to walk but can occasionally hurt. Let me ask you first, what is exactly plantar fasciitis, and any advice to help with that?
Yeah, you know, plantar fasciitis is a pretty common diagnosis, and if it's truly plantar fasciitis, it is very tender, specific point of pain in the heel. And what it is there's some a ligament, some soft tissue, and even some tendons that attach in that area. That help to form the arch. And it is a fascia, which is connective tissue, a big, thick band of connective tissue. It connects from the front of the foot to the heel, and it's where it attaches into the heel where people often get pain.
Got it.
And what I will say about that is it a lot of times when somebody comes in with a diagnosis of plantar fasciitis, a lot of times it is that, but there are other structures down there that can create some problems. Now, some of the cardinal signs of plantar fasciitis is when you get up in the morning and you take that first step, it's excruciating.
Okay.
And it's really pinpointed to one specific spot. And if somebody comes in and I push on that insertion spot, they go to the roof. If I push on that area and it's just not provoking anything, I'm probably not suspecting plantar fascia problems.
Okay.
So, because it could be a tendon problem, there could be some other things going on.
Do you ever, because they're in so much pain and they jump so high, do you ever push on it again just to have some fun?
Just to verify. I might not do it right away, but I'll do it later.
I mean, that is just, it always amazes me how much you guys know about everything in the body, from the feet to the fingers, everything in between. It's amazing what you do know. But, you know, that is something, and I know we've talked to you and Matthew about that, man. When you don't want to mess with feet issues, because guess what? We use those every day.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the, how do you treat a plantar fasciitis? Well, if you go on Google it and you go online, the number one thing you're going to see is stretch your calf muscles. And you can ice it, and a lot of times people will freeze a bottle of water and they'll roll their foot over it and, you know, do a bunch of soft tissue things to the bottom of the foot, and that's all great. That treats the symptoms often, and it can make it feel better, but if you really want to figure out what's going on, it could be that your calves are tight, but what we find is that a lot of times the muscles in the feet are not as strong, or they've lost some endurance or lost some strength.
Got it.
So building up foot strength and or ankle strength, and then also keeping that everything mobile is a great way to help combat it in the future. And just as it so happens, Dr. Matthew Gordon on our social media page, Mettler Therapy, on Instagram, has a bunch of foot exercises.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it ties in well with this, but really, you know, you can do a lot of the stretching and do the massage, but getting to the strengthening part, which a lot of people don't really get too much into, that's very important.
Doctor of Physical Therapy, Jeff Schroeder, Mettler Mix-Up. I'll leave you with this, Jeff. The St. Louis Cardinals still undefeated.
Right. And I was listening to Stevie J this morning, and he made a funny comment. He's like, they win every time we play them on the radio.
Oh, yeah, right, right. We pick the right games, don't we, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Hey, it's always good to visit, buddy. Say hi to the family and stay safe, my friend.
Absolutely. You guys do the same.
Okay, buddy. Jeff Schroeder, Mettler Mix-Up. They're awesome people over there. I love them. I consider them friends, and they're just wonderful at what they do. And they literally, Derek, know everything about anything we ask them. Anything. I wish I knew as much about something that they know about that. I don't. Maybe candy. I'm pretty good with candy, but I still am not an expert like they are. It truly is amazing to me. All right. When we come back next hour, we're going to preview Northwestern, and we're going to preview Ohio State. I know we've tried our best to stay on schedule with the actual games and when they fall, but when you're trying to set up, you know, all these interviews, it doesn't always work out well. But Teddy Greenstein is going to join us from the Chicago Tribune to talk about the Wildcats at the start of the hour. Bill Rabinowitz at the bottom of the hour to talk about Ohio State. We'll do that next.
This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.